from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On 610 with Pendergast to run the show.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty. And the Dilf.
The big Dilf.
And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags, have the latest for you. And the latest is, first off, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And there is a lot to get to here in terms of the roster and cuts today. We know that the Texans had to get down to 53. They were able to do that. They have now since released the roster. You can go. You can find on social the Texans. They released the entire roster on who there and who made and who didn't. And there were some, I think at least at the very least, mild surprises. We had Jonathan Alexander on earlier today at 4:25. He says he wasn't shocked. C.J. Henderson, a big name. Dez King didn't make it. They cut both their fullbacks. Troy Hairston and Andrew Beck. Charlie Heck, who had been with this team since Bill O'Brien, they released him as well. He's been nursing that foot injury. But Clint, for me, and I know you agree, the Noah Brown, that one is the one that at least when you start to see all of them, start to see them come by, oh, okay, all right. Quintez Cephas, okay, all right. You know, Mike Ford, okay, no, they signed him to a 2-year deal, but you get that. All these guys, the shark guy who's the tackle. Noah Brown instantly stopped, at least me, stopped me in my tracks into where I was like, whoa, I thought he was a lock. We've been talking about the receiver group, 6 and 7, 5, 6 and 7, how many would they keep? And I know we never talked about Noah Brown. I know there are going to be many of you who are going to send in things like you have today saying, I don't know why you're surprised. I watch the text line. I watch YouTube and Twitch probably more than I should. There was not a lot of, oh, yeah, Noah Brown's going to be the one that's going to get cut coming through here because, you know, thought he was going to be there, thought he was having a minor injury. That's the one that jumped out the most to me, Clint, that they have seen enough from the Robert Woods who made it, the John Metchie who made it, the Xavier Hutchinson who made it, Steve Sims who made it. Obviously, more as a returner, but they've seen enough there that they felt like he was expendable.
Yeah, look, I, even with the recent injuries, I thought Noah Brown was a lock at the number 4 wide receiver position for this football team. You look at last year when he was needed the most, he went out and put up back-to-back 150-yard games. He is a veteran that knows the game like the back of his hand. I don't think there's anybody on this roster right now that is both the veteran and the ability of Noah Brown. You look at the injury. I know a lot of people lean into the injury aspect of it. I guess the timing was bad for him in training camp because he missed a good chunk of training camp. But in reality, you look over the last three seasons, he's played in 39 games. Robert Woods, who is on this football team and ain't going to sniff 150 yards at receiving in a game, he is played 40 games in the last three seasons. So from an injury-prone standpoint, Robert Woods made it. You could have saved $5 million if you cut Robert Woods. Instead, you cut a guy that $3.5 million of his $4 million salary that you gave him this year, I believe, is guaranteed. So this is a very interesting move by the Houston Texans. And again, I understand the dynamic that he was injured, but that doesn't over – for me – That doesn't move me to a place where I'm going to cut him. Given, again, there's $3.5 or $4 million guaranteed. He's a veteran. He's proven what he did last year. I thought he was a more the the more reliable option at that number four wide receiver. This is an 11 personnel team, which is one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. So you're gonna be very dependent on whoever your fourth and fifth guy are. And we'll see who that is. It's not going to be Noah Brown. I'm surprised. He would have been a lock for me. I damn sure thought he would have been a lock, thinking that they were going to keep seven wide receivers, which they did. On this roster, on the offensive side of the football, the interesting things that stick out, other than Noah Brown cut, Ron, is that there's five running backs that they ended up keeping: Cam Akers, Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Dare Ogunbowale, and rookie British Brooks. There's five, not four. And then you look at the wide receiver position, there's seven, not six. I thought there would probably be six. Thought there could be seven, given, again, this is a heavy 11 personnel, I think, offense. And so it made sense. Stephon Diggs, Robert Woods, Tank Dell, John Metchie, Nico Collins, Xavier Hutchinson, and Steven Sims, who's predominantly going to be a returner, I would imagine. But I do like him in this offense, Ron. So I think offensively, those are the two things that stick out. Also, on the offensive line, I know you had some concerns about Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher is your swing tackle. There's three tackles on this football team. It's Blake Fisher, Titus Howard, and Laramie Tunsil. Yep. Everybody else is interior offensive line. Now, Nick Broeker did play some tackle in a preseason game, so I guess he could be an insurance policy there. But Blake Fisher, without a doubt, is your swing tackle. Titus goes down, Blake's going in. Laramie goes down, Blake's going in. If they both go down, your ass is in trouble at the end of the day.
Blake and Brocker.
Yeah, that's it. So I think those are two, like, from a numbers perspective, those things kind of shook out with more backs and more wide receivers than I thought would be there.
Yeah. Speaking of that real quick with the wide receivers, if you were, like me, surprised that Noah Brown was cut, then that means – You would have rather seen him than someone else. And they kept seven. Obviously, Diggs, Dell, and Nico Collins are in a separate place. But of Woods, Metchie, Hutchinson, and Sims, who would you have Brown in for and out in this?
It'd be Woods for me. I think they are two very similar players in a sense of both veterans that should be able to play all three wide receiver positions, should be interchangeable anywhere, should know the offense like the back of their hand, should know every pressure and coverage that a defense can throw at you. You just saved $5 million cutting Robert Woods, and you lost $3.5 million by cutting Noah Brown. So that's an $8.5 million swing right there. So those two would be interchangeable to me. I told you yesterday, like, if it was just five receivers, it'd be Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, John Metchie, and Xavier Hutchinson would have been my top five wide receivers. The Robert Woods play here is a big time insurance policy that I can get down with. By the way, I can understand it, but that's the one that I would remove and put Noah in for.
Yeah. Also, a little news to pass along with the guys that were cut and who made the team. The Texans are placing quarterback Case Keenum on IR ahead of the cut deadline. He'll miss the entire 2024 season. He had been having a lingering foot issue, according to Aaron Wilson. They released Tim Boyle, Clint, so now they just have the two quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills, on the roster. There, we'll see. I'm guessing they'll probably add a third one, whether he's on practice squad or what, with the emergency rules that they can use with the third quarterback. But Case Keenum, which I think this we talked about it a bit, I think this is probably a positive thing for Case Keenum, because I think this is probably the best role and the best thing he brings to the table for this team. Is now he is going to be there as the mentor, the eyes, somebody outside of the coaching staff that CJ can confide in and talk to during games, during practice, in film. This is he's really kind of started his coaching career a little early.
Yeah, he's doing what Josh McCown should have done.
But not Josh is doing it, I think, kind of.
Open that old wound there.
Kinda. Yeah, it crossed my mind as y'all were talking about it. I was like, head coach? Damn, that was
– The future?
Those were dark days.
The damn near the future head coach?
Yeah.
God. Yeah, so, Case, I ain't going to do this, man. Case might pull through, but I was going to pour one out because I think this may be the end. for the great.
Yeah, Houston look, I would Case think King. That I would think the case would be done.
I mean, he may say no, man. I got one more in.
I mean, he'll stay in the league, make great money, continue that pension, and stay around the game if he so chooses. I think this year for him will be one where he could shadow either Bobby Slowick or Gerard Johnson, and be as involved as he's always been, except he doesn't have to run the scout team, he doesn't have to put the pads on every day. So he'll get a good taste of whether this coaching thing is for him this year, I would imagine.
Yeah, so that's the latest there with the cut situation with the Texans.
5 o'clock fire.
Now, a little after we started to see the final names trickle out, this came through as well. The Texans are placing linebacker Christian Harris on IR due to a calf injury. He can be designated for return, so he's going to have to miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season, maybe longer. But they place him on IR, and to me, Clint, this is a major blow. Not a surprise. We talked about the concern of he'd be ready. We've only seen him one time at a practice, and he wasn't able to finish it during training camp. This lower leg that we now know as a calf injury has been a real issue for him. This is a significant blow. With one, I think he was your most talented linebacker and the guy that I felt like they were going to use and try to do a lot of different, maybe unique things with, being with his skill set that nobody else on the team has. And they're facing the Colts with not just Jonathan Taylor but also Anthony Richardson, which your linebackers are going to be a big key. And Henry Toa, who D'Amico said is the next guy up in line, he feels like another middle linebacker more than somebody that's moving around, that's able to cover and things like that. So this is a pretty big blow for the Texans for maybe the first week, 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, look, I think it's an expected blow. I mean, you're talking about a guy. I'd have felt better about him playing week one had we never seen him throughout all of training camp. To go out there, try to go one day, not make it through practice, and have to go back in the training room, that's an awful sign, right? Yeah. Not only is it the setback, but now it's telling you that they thought you were better off than you were. The injury could potentially be more severe than they thought. So, and you're talking about a finely tuned athlete. I mean, you're talking about a quick twitch guy. This is a different animal. So, it shouldn't surprise anybody that he's going to miss the first chunk of the season, given what we've seen this training camp. Now move on to, okay, what do you do without that guy? It's going to be a hell of a task week one against an Anthony Richardson type of quarterback who's going to carry it and move the ball with his legs just as much as he attacks from the pocket with his arms. So how do you, as a defense, how do you offset the loss of Christian Harris? I said it from jump, Ron. I think Delshawn Phillips is a guy, number 13 linebacker. He did make the team.
Over Henry Toa?
Well, no. I think D'Amico was being real when he said that the bulk of Christian Harris's responsibilities will be filled by Henry Toa. But when you talk about tracking, giving yourself a chance to get Anthony Richardson on the ground, giving yourself a chance to get the athletic quarterbacks in this league on the ground and have a chance in open space, you better find an athlete. Henry Toa, he's obviously an athlete. I'm talking about you better find one of those elite athletes in the open field. Henry Toa, I don't believe is that guy. Neville Hewitt, I don't believe is that guy. I don't know that Azeez Al-Shaair is that guy. Delshawn Phillips, again, to me, he's a guy that watching practice appears to be a guy that moves a little undersized and moves a little bit better than most. We'll see if that plays out on Sunday, but I think we could see them lean into Phillips to fill some of that role as well.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed just because I really wanted to see the next step this cat would take, and now we got to wait a little bit longer, and hopefully he's good and healthy when he does come back. But it was going to be a lot of fun to be able to watch him play, because last year he clearly got it in the second half of the year. And then the playoffs, he clearly got it and was somebody that was really, really fun, and people were really looking forward to see what he do this year in his second year in the system. So Christian Harris on IR is going to miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season.
We don't like that.
5 o'clock fire.
I'm sure you don't. D'Amico. All right, tonight it is JV night. I'm really curious to see
Justin Verlander
what kind of restrictions he has, if any, tonight. Clearly there was a pinch count and it kind of got up a bit in his first start, but he was able to go five innings and threw around 70 pitches. I wonder if there is still a pitch count, if he still has any restrictions, or they pretty much close to saying, hey, all right, Justin, go ahead and do your thing. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and do your thing.
Let her eat.
Pitch a game and let this thing rip. Or as Tyler said, let it eat. But this is the second game that he comes back. Faced a pretty good Red Sox lineup the first time, and he'll face the Phillies tonight. And they could use a big time start from him to kind of stop this little slide here of late.
Yeah, look, I mean, I feel good anytime that Verlander's on the bump, including when he's coming back from this injury right here. Like you said, I hope to see him get back to full go sooner rather than later. And this damn rotation, Ron, has been absolutely filthy. And boy, you add JV, a full go JV to it.
Yeah,
these cats are gonna win a lot of baseball games, man.
Yeah, and tonight, yeah, JV is big, but always, as we understand, what this thing comes down to, need the big boys to step up. They're all in the lineup tonight. Need the big boys to come through, and
we'll get all this little funk.
Swing the bat, Altuve back in the lineup today, after a day off yesterday. He is back in at second base. Hopefully, everything is good there. Bregman is back in the two spot. He's going to play in the field again at third base with Yordan at the DH spot. Yiner Diaz is catching. Singleton at first base. Pena at short. Gamel, who has started off pretty good for the Astros, is in right field. Jake Myers and then Dubon is back. He's back in the lineup in left field. So he and Altuve are both back in the lineup. So big one tonight for them. Hopefully they can get through and even up this series.
Really, really happy.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Cleveland Browns, they've decided to keep four quarterbacks.
Four?
Uh-oh.
You thought the Texans were a little high on running backs and receivers. Tyler Huntley, DTR, Jameis Winston, and Deshaun Watson.
I'm not going to let it take my
all
joy.
Four.
Wow. It's like they need to have some backup plans in place or something.
I mean, good. I mean, this is an aggressive backup plan.
It's almost half an offense.
Four big ones. But they just, I guess they're saying, man, we can't let any of these jokers clear waivers.
No, I mean, but why do you need four?
I don't know. I don't know. It makes sense. I would have thought a good three. I mean, I'd have thought. But one, you know they can't get rid of Deshaun. And you know they can't get rid of Jameis. I mean, clearly he is the voice of the squad. So that is a no-no. DTR is young. Tyler Huntley felt like it was you, but hell.
Water has no soul.
He made him another run. Four of them. I don't think I've ever seen that.
They're a one with water.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I damn sure ain't never seen it when you got a $230 million one at the top that's guaranteed and a veteran behind him that's leading the team.
Brown's going to brown, man.
Yeah, I didn't think they would keep four. I've never seen that before. So they are stacked. Word on the street is they're taking a look at Tim Boyle. He's going to come into practice. Going to come in.
Browns?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I think say damn.
Flacco.
What are we doing? Flacco's already an Indian.
Taking a look at Tim Boyle.
No, they want to bring him back.
No, damn it. I want it. This feels like John Gruden just being able to run it however he wants to run. Let me get four or five.
Show me that spider Y2 banana.
All right. We were talking about this earlier. I want to get people's thoughts on this. All right. We got the 53. It's up. It's posted by the Texans. We know what this roster is looking like right now. And my question is, preseason's over. Camp's over. You know you had a certain feeling going into all of that. Do you feel better right now about your Houston Texans going into the regular season? Do you feel better than you did prior going into the regular season? We'll get there.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
How you feeling? How you feeling now? Preseason's over. Training camp is over. Cut list is there. You know what the 53 is. How are you feeling about the Houston Texans now? You had a certain way that you felt about this team prior to it. We've had conversations. What are they going to look like? What are they going to be? How many wins you see with the schedule? All of that. Now that you've watched them, and I know we've been able to see them closer at camp, you've seen 4 preseason games. How do you feel about the Texans now that all of that is over and we are now, what, a little over a week to the first game of the season? How do you feel about the Texans? Do you feel better about them now after training camp and preseason?
Yeah, I feel 10 times better, to be completely
ten
honest
times,
with you.
Huh?
Absolutely, like, man.
This team Houston was supposed to be crap.
Yeah, I mean, look, you say it last year, Pat, but this year that's not the case. Yeah, look, I mean, there's two or three major question marks going into training camp that I didn't feel comfortable with. And it starts with number one. There's no doubt about it. When you look at Stephon Diggs, either fair or foul, doesn't matter. When Stephon Diggs came to Houston, there was some funk with the name. There was a reputation. Again, fair or foul, true or false, there was a reputation that came with him from Minnesota and Buffalo. And here in Houston, one thing that this team had was tremendous chemistry. They all appeared to love each other. They all appeared to respect each other. They all appeared to work extremely hard. And you never know when you add this caliber player how that's going to impact the overall team. And so I think in camp early on, took us about a week, we realized that with our own experience, what we've seen of Stephon Diggs does not match anything that the reputation's about. The guy was obviously understood the chemistry and the relationship that he needed to have with the quarterback, which has been tremendous. He's been a mentor for several young players. He's a guy that if he takes a knee and during a break on the practice field, it seems like 10-plus guys gravitate to him. He's clearly a leader on this football team, and I feel 10 times better with Stephon Diggs being added to this team than I did in training camp. Not to mention, I hadn't even gotten to the fact that it seems like when practices were geared to get him the football, he was just absolutely filthy. So the connection that he and C.J. Stroud have is clearly tremendous. I think that in itself is going to make most people feel a lot better. Kamari Lassiter, who seemed the rookie second-round draft pick out of Georgia, who seemed to have been just handed the job the night he was drafted, ultimately. I had big-time question marks about that. There's no denying, no matter what you see in terms of – I still think he's a rigid player. I don't know from a speed standpoint how things are going to work out, but there's no doubt about it. You got four-plus weeks of training camp. Kamari Lassiter continued to get better. Kamari Lassiter panned out to be exactly who D'Amico Ryan said he was. And he is a really, really, really solid number two corner. Now, I don't know when he moves from solid, what that looks like, how good he can be. But right now, I feel really comfortable about him being the number two corner on this football team. And so those two, I think, hot buttons to start the season before training camp, I mean, could not have gone any better for this football team, and for those two reasons alone. We got more, but for those two reasons alone, I feel 10 times better about this football team.
Yeah, the Diggs thing is a completely different thing than I think we thought we were going to be seeing. Like, that has been a complete game changer, and we've seen that help this group immensely, both on the offense and the defensive side, receivers and corners. We've seen that help. I'm with you. I feel better than I did in most areas with the Texans prior to the preseason and training camp starting. The one for me is I'm surprised that I feel this way. I feel better about it almost everything about this team, even the interior D line, which is a spot that I question. I feel
Mario Edwards.
I feel better about that them at least to be able to stop the run better than I thought. I think I feel worse about the offensive line than I did before the preseason and training camp started. And I don't have anything to do with Kenyon Green.
Yeah. Kenyon Green's another one for me. Yeah.
Like, I think Kenyon Green has kind of answered the question. But as a whole, based off what we've seen through preseason, I expected to see better in the run game based off what we saw in some of the in the joint practice. That is probably the only place where I don't feel better than I did prior to it. And, you know, they're a talented group up there, and the hope is that once the regular season hits, we start to see more improvement. But I thought they would look better running the football. I thought they would look better with some of the pressures we've seen, especially in that joint practice with the Rams. That's the only part on the field, because I think this offense, if that's right, this offense has a chance to be nasty. Nasty. Nico Collins looks like he's maybe taking a step, or at least more confident in himself. Tank Dell looks like he's back to where he was and more has more of a feel of what's going on in the league. It feels like Brevin Jordan is comfortable. You can see some things. It's just that offensive line kind of has surprised me the way they have looked. And that's the only place where I may not feel as good as I did prior to it.
Look, I think there's a lot of question marks there. Laramie Tunsil didn't practice, and by the time he did get back, Titus Howard was injured. So you had a lot of Blake Fisher one way or another. The preseason game action was very minimal, and then you look at the joint practice with the Rams. You know, that was the practice where it looked like Laramie Tunsil was tapping his helmet, you know, just not in game shape, not ready to go complete drives yet. And so, understandably so, where you could feel a little uneasy about this offensive line and the progress they made. The interesting point you made is, Ron, is that the point of contention, if you will, or the point of concern is not Kenyon Green. You feel pretty damn good about Kenyon Green.
If you told me, man, you don't feel as good about this offensive line going
in. I'd
have been
like, oh, Juice and Kenyon, they struggling.
Yeah,
huh?
it's not really them. Mm-mm. Like there's some of it with them, but it's not really that. I mean, they're playing better than I could have even thought they would.
Yeah,
they're
playing.
But as a whole,
I don't think it's a coincidence, right? That the guys that played and played well, and we saw a lot of, we feel probably feel a little bit better about.
Yeah, it's just as a whole, it's just like.
Yeah.
You got veterans, you got talented guys, and you would think that they would figure out some of the things that they haven't figured out. But that's it. Like this crew has a chance to be, as you said, feel better about the secondary. Bullock, you feel better about that. Hell, I didn't know Eric Murray was going to be a player, but he's been really, really good through camp. I got to be honest with you. I feel better about the backup quarterback position. With Davis Mills, you know, just at least with the ability to be able to do something and give you a win. It's just that up front, that's the only thing to me that has consistently been disappointing to see. And at first it was, well, they just don't have all their guys up there. Then they had all their guys up there, and you were like, oh, what is going on here? Here we go. Get up now. Fix this up. Fix this up here. So, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, everything else, I feel pretty good. I don't have a ton of confidence in what the run game's going to look like week one.
Yeah, we didn't see Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
We didn't see Laramie Tunsil and Titus Howard together. I think we saw all five together, like, literally for 2 or 3 days of camp.
Dang it, Bobby.
Nothing meaningful, right? And so, yeah, it stands to reason that the jury would still be out on Joe Mixon and Titus Howard and Laramie Tunsil and this run game taking the next step and you know, whether Bobby Slowick ultimately and company can generate a respectable run game. We'll see.
Text line coming through. Feel much better about the team. Gus and Katie, no run. I can honestly say I'm worried. Okay. All right. Well,
there's reason to be worried now. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of reason.
We don't like that.
I mean, I'm going to assume that schedule. That schedule has a little something to do with it.
I don't know. Worried. Yeah. I guess maybe. I get that. All right. Coming up, Chaz McCormick. He is not in the lineup today, but if you hadn't heard some of the stuff, I've heard about people being hard on themselves. This is this is to another level. Chaz McCormick, if you missed what he's had to say about his performance and himself this year, you don't want to miss it. That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is back, as we know the roster. And the big move for us was the Noah Brown situation. Hey, Clint, now that Noah Brown's out,
wow,
who's the fourth receiver? Because they're gonna go four wide. They're gonna use a fourth receiver. We never know what kind of injuries occur. Who do you think slides into the role? If we said like, hey, one through four, it was Diggs one, Collins two, Tank three, Noah Brown was four. I think that's where we were leading up. Who's the four? Who's in the four spot?
Oh, I think it's John Metchie. I think it's John Metchie. And look, I think he had a very strong end to camp, without a doubt. He had a very strong. It's undeniable. He had a very strong end to camp. Did I think it was strong enough to jump all the way to where you'd consider him the number four receiver with this football team? No, I did not. I didn't think that we'd come to a point on final roster day to where we'd be talking about John Metchie potentially being a number four receiver. But I've got to take a lot of things into consideration here, Ron. The strong ending that he had to training camp, the way in which Bobby Slowick, no matter what was going on with John Metchie, no matter what part of camp we're talking about, John Metchie, you look up and John Metchie was in there with the ones with C.J. Stroud quite a bit. He was the one, even more so than Robert Woods, the old veteran, even more so than Xavier Hutchinson, who you saw make plays early in training camp, even more than Steven Sims, who ended up making the team, who was obviously was the returner from a return specialist from jump with this football team. The guy that always made his way in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Into that huddle, right behind the big three, was John Metchie. And so, look, I've just got to believe at this point in time that they are going to continue to give John Metchie every opportunity to be an impact player with this football team. And right now, I think when you're talking about the number four spot on this football team, the responsibility of the fourth best receiver on this football team, I think it's handed to John Metchie day one. Indianapolis, baby. Someone opening week.
Text line said Robert Woods. Is what someone texted in. Based off what we've seen, as you said, like, who's been in the huddle? 8-2 for the most part, but eight more. John Metchie. And so I think what you're saying is probably correct. For me, I feel like I'm about to call him in again. For me, I feel like Xavier Hutchinson has been the one who's actually earned that, based off the play that we have seen throughout all of training camp.
Yeah,
throughout all,
I think it's fair.
I'm talking about the practices, the preseason games, all of them. Not just the last two games, or really the one game where it was really big in practice. I was talking to somebody else who covers the team. Every time you put him out there, he makes a play.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, every day he does something. He does something. Big body, a good size, I think dependable, reliable, good hands.
He's got great chemistry with all the quarterbacks out there, no matter who it is.
Kid is a freaking baller.
Like, for me, from what we've seen and what I've seen from practice to these games, Xavier Hutchinson is the one who has earned it. But I agree with you, it's Metchie, and I bet you that Hutchinson is probably third in those guys we just named when people said Woods and people said Metchie.
Well, it's interesting. I think you look at the roster breakdown, they kept seven wide receivers. And I think Robert Woods is the insurance policy. If one of your big three go down and you need a guy that knows the whole playbook, that's seen every pressure a defense can throw at you, that's seen every coverage a defense can throw at you, has played in big time high leverage moments in every situation, then I think Robert Woods' insurance policy, the $5 million insurance policy that you purchased. And if he has to play in one of those roles and he plays well, then it was money well spent. Now, I think if we're talking about the fourth guy in or the fifth guy in, I think John Metchie is that guy. I just they have pushed and pushed and pushed and on John Metchie to be the guy, to be one of the guys, to be a contributor, not just guy that makes the roster and, hey, stick around and keep getting better and develop. They have pushed him to be a guy that is in the huddle with C.J. Stroud consistently. And in their defense, in all fairness, it took a while, but once he got going, there was a 2-week run right there, or a 2-game run right there, where it looked like it was paying off. And so maybe this is this year's version of, don't worry about the wide receivers. I ain't got no worries about the wide receivers that DeMeco gave us last year when Tank Dell and Nico Collins emerged. Maybe that this is the 2024 version of those guys, and John Metchie emerges.
Interesting. Yeah.
Are we gonna give you your flowers?
We thought Noah Brown was a clear four. We'll be watching to see who has that role at this point now. Hey, coming up, a new episode of The Orange Wagon tonight, 7:30, so look for that.
The Big Orange Wagon.
Yeah, you're right. I should have said that. It says New Orange Wagon on the type portion of it. I should have said
The Big.
The Big.
The Big Orange Wagon.
Yeah, the Big Orange Wagon. Patrick.
Say it again.
Big Orange, the big. Now he's putting it in. Now he's typing it in right now because he left out the big.
I want to set you up for success, man. I thought you knew the name of my podcast. You know,
I come down and read it. The Orange Wagon. He left the big out there. The Big Orange Wagon.
Well, he gets it honest.
Welcome into Drive. Wait,
that worked. Welcome into Drive. Why not? Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Big Orange Wagon episode tonight, 7:30. Texans All Access, they follow us. And they'll talk about the trim of the roster to 53. Oh. By the way, Caserio, I believe, will be speaking tomorrow at 9 o'clock. That'll be interesting.
That is correct.
9 o'clock. I'm certain you can catch that right here on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio.
Pendergast 16. And Payne.
They'll also talk about the Case Keenum injury as well. Following us on Texans All Access, and you know we are live and local until 11 o'clock. Area 45, Bajani and Creighton, as they'll have a post-game show, hopefully better than last night's, as they have the Astros and the Phillies again. And someone not in the lineup is Chaz McCormick. And, you could see and just imagine, I mean, anybody who has been – I mean, you don't have to be an athlete, but anybody who has struggled at their craft and just can't seem to get out of the funk that they're in and know they're better than they are and just can't seem to get right can relate to Chaz McCormick. But it was probably frustrating, just like, you know, it probably is with Damian Pierce, but man, he expressed it. This was Chaz McCormick with Chandler Roma of The Athletic. I'm disappointed in myself. I feel like I've let the team down, let the coaches down, let my teammates down, and that's the toughest part. But it's not over yet. I just have to take it like that. It's not over yet. I have to keep grinding. He continues. I have to do it myself. I'm the one effing going out there. I love the advice, and everyone's been trying to help me. But it's been 6 months. I need to go out there and stop being a bitch. End quote. My dog, man.
And stop being a bitch. That's strong, man.
Yeah, man. I know they.
Feel him.
I know they come back into town this weekend. I feel like maybe he needs a standing ovation or something when he comes up to the plate first.
I'm down.
Something to get him in a good spot, because.
Lift them spirits, cowboy.
Yeah, them spirits are down, Jack. Like, I don't think he's doing this, but you You read something you hear like that, I feel like a guy that's going back and just knocking back a case. Just sitting back and watching Netflix and knocking back
he's at wit's end, man.
Or just pulling from the bottle, even pouring a glass.
Don't even mind the glass, man. Give me the bottle. Just turn the bottle up, man.
Dark and light.
Just keep watching. He's watching film over and over. Just rewind.
As you're reading that right there, I'm picturing Chaz McCormick at bat, and that's exactly what his bats look like. It's exactly what his at-bats look like. And so, he is clearly, we've been saying this for weeks, Ron, he is in a bad, bad spot. And it's interesting because it's not the Jake Myers poor, pitiful me. It's the defeated look of like, I just don't have answers, right? It's not quite that.
I screwed it up.
It's more of like, he's so frustrated, he has just said, F it. I'm going to go up there, I'm going to guess, and I'm going to swing, and I'm going to just, you know what, whatever, man. And his body language sucks. His facial expressions suck. And I know, look, a lot of the times guys can't. Like, I don't think Jake chooses to have that body language and that facial expression.
It's just coming out.
I don't think Chaz chooses to have those kinds of reactions. But you get to a point where you're so frustrated, you just can't hide it no more. You just don't give a rip. And look, I'll be honest with you, though. This right here, this is some white boy Chaz stuff. I know we took his nickname back. This is some white boy Chaz stuff right here. If you're struggling, this is especially the end of that. This is what I want. I have to do it myself. I'm the one effing going out there. I love the advice. In other words, thank guys. I appreciate it. It's been six damn months. This is ridiculous, man. I got to get out there and stop being a B. I don't want any of my guys to struggle, but when they do, this is what I want. This is the mentality. He needs that last line. He needs to take that mentality to the plate tonight.
He
needs to take it to Sugar Land with him.
I'd rather him, not be just woe is me down in the dumps. I wonder has he passed that portion of it?
He's not getting consistent. And now
he's just enraged. Well,
what felt like in that moment we talked about earlier, Ron, I know I brought it up, there was a game a week or two ago where he did some good things at the very end of the game.
Yeah, he was so happy.
Yeah, so that felt like the moment for me. If it looked like something had just come off his back.
Short-lived,
the team
boys.
Was partying with him in the dugout. Like he was smiling. It looked good, but... Now he hadn't done a whole lot since then.
It feels like this is the second time they've kind of gone through this. Yeah. Although I feel like Abreu handles his differently. Abreu just goes. I think he's just internalizes it and just sits there. Like I feel like he's going to the plate and everybody is up there. God,
come on, please let Chaz get on here.
Please get a walk.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna lose it.
Yeah.
We all had that kid on our little league team.
Like doesn't Chaz look like? If he gets hit, he's charging the mound?
No, I think he'd rejoice because he gets to go to first.
I just feel like he's...
But I hear what you're saying.
I feel like he is...
I feel like he's up there praying to get hit.
He's down two strikes. He's like, hey, if this fastball's got to run in.
Yes!
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He feels in a short fuse.
That's a good point, Tyler. Like, I think he's up there. That first pitch he sees, I think he's trying to hit it. But once he gets down on the count...
It's exactly how
give
I
me
feel.
A walk.
No, hit me. Praying for some way to get out of that situation versus swing with two strikes.
He's getting behind it.
Yeah, he's got to. Look, at the end of the day, Chaz.
Feel like he's just going to snap.
Chaz got to go to Sugar Land.
I don't know if that would help him.
Well, getting at bats, like this whole playing one of every three games and batting every time there's a left-handed pitcher and all that kind of, like that ain't it. He's got to go somewhere and get 4 to 5 at bats every single outing until he snaps his ass out.
I think it would drive him further in the dumps. Now, with them trying to sign Jason Hayward, it does not look good for him.
We'll get all these little
there seems to be more people in his way now. There seems to be bringing
just,
more.
Just a little funk.
Just a little funk.
Just a little funk.
We'll get all this little funk.
All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as the fellas will talk about this roster, getting down to 53, Area 45 with Bajani and Creighton. After that, as well, live and local to 11, and remember the Big Orange Wagon episode tonight. So stay tuned and listen for that. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to our guy Jonathan Alexander, who joined us. As well, I'm Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Manager of the Astros, Joe Espada. Wait for it, boys. You won't believe this. outfielder Kyle Tucker has started to sprint.
He's sprinting. The king is sprinting.
King Tuck ain't
the king
it. He's sprinting. Holy crap, yeah. I didn't
Are
expect
you ready
this
to
big news on a Tuesday.
He's close to running base.
King Tuck is sprinting, Ron. Quit pissing on it, Ron. He's sprinting, man.
Don't put this on me. They've pissed on it.
No, you're pissing on it.
No, I'm not.
They're not out there trying to get Hayward, dude. He's sprinting.
I mean, why would you do that right away?
We'll get all this little funk.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.